more people who were close by for the job. Go to fourth floor. Fourth floor. Go home. Hold the shloka for the floor.
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीभगवानुवाच मय्यासक्तमना पार्थ योगं युञ्जन्मदाश्रयः असंशयं समग्रं माम् यथा ज्ञास्यसि तच्छृणु। ट्रांसलेशन। द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हैड सेड, ओ नाउ हियर ओ सन ऑफ पृथा, हाउ बाय प्रैक्टिसिंग योगा इन फुल कॉन्शियसनेस ऑफ मी विथ माइंड अटैच टू मी यू कैन नो मी इन फुल फ्री फ्रॉम डाउट। ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। नमा ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरद्विषे नमः। जय श्री कृष्णचैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna. So I'm very happy and grateful for this opportunity to serve all of you by discussing the summary of the 7th through the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. We hardly have an hour, and even if I were to do 10 minutes per chapter, we will still take one full hour. So I hope that you will bear with me with rapt attention as we go through the various aspects of this middle section of Bhagavad Gita, the cream of Bhagavad Gita, the most important chapters of Bhagavad Gita. Long ago, when I was learning to play basketball professionally, my coach told me that the secret of winning the game is to have perfect control over the ball. So I didn't understand at that time much. In fact, there was a time where he took a long detour, my coach took a long detour in trying to make me first gain understanding of the kshetra of basketball court. He tied me, blindfolded me, and before tying me up he actually told me to go and have a look around the whole court, and then he blindfolded me and he said, now you have to traverse with eyes blindfolded the entire periphery of the court on the lines. I said, well, you didn't tell that me before. He said, no, I told you to observe now it's your turn. So whatever, I couldn't do it. So he finally again unfolded. And this time I was very careful. I actually, with my steps and everything, figured out all the corners, the angles, the lines, everything the way it is. And then one full week, this is all that we did on the court. To get blindfolded and to walk, trying to exactly traverse the contours of every single line on the court. By the end of the 7 days, for my whole life, I never had to look at the court when I'm running on it. I exactly knew how many steps, if you take left or right or straight, where do you go? And this exercise was bewildering to me. Then the second session began about the ball, the basketball. So you have to have an arm, fingers that hold it firmly, and you need to know how to exactly dodge it, how to step, and how to exactly basket it. But before you do all that, you first need to hold it. One full month training on holding the ball, and when opponent is trying to take it off your hand, you have to do whatever you can, but never allow them to take control of the ball in your hand. One full month went in that. And I was wondering, what kind of training is this? First you get blindfolded to get, you become Kshetradnya. Kshetra, and there is Kshetradnya. You know more of the field. That is in 13th chapter, we will see that later. But Kshetra, Kshetradnya, Vibhaga, Yoga. But nevertheless, then the control over the ball. It was not until I started studying Bhagavad Gita, I understood the deeper significance of having control over the ball. In every game, football, basketball, volleyball, whatever, the main point is the player's ability to have perfect control over the ball. You might have seen Pele and others. The way, once the ball comes to them, it glues to them. It just doesn't go anywhere. They have the ability to keep it stuck on their feet or their shoulder or their head, but not letting anyone else take control of it. Similarly, this whole planet Earth is a ball. In this entire Brahmanda, Bhuloka is the Karma Bhumi. Whatever thoughts, words, actions are sown by human beings in their human life, in earthly planet, in this Bhuloka level existence, determines the future of the entire Brahmanda. If human beings lead pious lives, following laws of God, then they are under divine energy of the Lord. The devatas in the universe flourish when human beings practice piety, dharma. At the same time, when human beings become corrupt, adharmic, then the demons in the Brahmanda, they flourish. There are only two kinds of beings in the Brahmanda. Dvavimam purushav, daiva asura evacha. There is devatas, there are asuras. So those who are, jo Bhagwan ke sur mein sur milate hain, unko sur kehte hain. Aur jo apna besura awaz nikalte hain, beech beech mein, unko asur kehte hain. So because of that, what human beings do on planet Earth gives advantage either to the devatas or to the demons. And that is why, since time immemorial, there is always this tussle between the devatas and the asuras to take charge of the happenings on the planet Earth. Long ago, 5000 years back, the war of Mahabharata was that one decisive battle that took place, where devatas had incarnated in their partial expansions in the form of the Pandavas, and the asuras, headed by Kali personified Duryodhana, had incarnated in their partial expansion form in the form of the Kauravas, in one family. divine and demoniac natures. And this battle of Kurukshetra was an arrangement of the Supreme Lord by which there was going to be a decisive game, so to call it, as to who will rule over the planet Earth. If Yudhishthira and his brothers win, piety will flourish, dharma will flourish on the earth. If Duryodhana and company were to win, adharma will flourish. And not only on earth, all over Brahmanda, those personalities will have an upper hand who have controlled the ball. And that is why this Bhagavad Gita is not something that happened 5000 years ago. Even now in our life, moment to moment, we are making choices whether to take side with dharma or to take sides with adharma. Have you sometimes wondered when you go on the road and you see somebody coming up with a t-shirt that has got very ghastly, skull-like, greenish eyes, pus-pouring mouth kind of pictures? And you sometimes wonder, where is that coming from? Kind of satanic themes. And nowadays, that's, you know, the rock music and this Metallica and all that. That's more in vogue, as they call it. Why? Because beings from the lower planetary systems, there is Bhuloka, then there is Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Tala, Atala, Rasatala, Patala. And then there is Bhuvaha, Svaha, Maharlok, Tapalok, Satyalok, etc. on the top. What human beings will do on this level of Bhuloka will decide who amongst these will flourish. So if we are to make choices in our life, we will need a guiding manual. Moment to moment, which type of food to eat, which type of dress to wear, which type of occupation to have, which type of people to associate with. For every choice, we will need some guideline. And that is why Bhagavad Gita is given by the Supreme Lord Himself to make our choices dharmic. After studying Bhagavad Gita, we will come to know in every situation of our life, yahi hai right choice, baby. Aha. Because when we are in a provoking situation, we don't know what goes wrong with us. We generally tend to make wrong choices. But if you have studied Bhagavad Gita under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, then in every provoking situations we will know what is dharma in this time of crisis. So in this way, this Bhagavad Gita is aimed at helping us make right choices and thus universally make dharma flourish. And it is not a book that happened 5000 years ago. It is something that is happening right now. The battle of Kurukshetra within our own hearts. There are divine natures. There are demoniac natures. And each one of them is trying to dominate over us. But by studying Bhagavad Gita and being sheltered in Krishna consciousness, we can overcome the negative pullings and thus make dharma flourish within and without. So with this in the background, why we are studying Bhagavad Gita, and that at such a rapid pace. So whatever pace it is, it's worth it.
Can you go two sides behind?
So here is a quick overview of Bhagavad Gita. As in any PhD thesis, it has to begin with problem definition. How accurately you define the problem will decide how accurately can you solve it. You can't solve a problem that you don't know what it is. All of us have one common problem, which was also the problem of Arjuna. Representatively, what is that problem? Dehatma buddhi. Misidentification of the soul with the body. We are spiritual beings having human experience. Currently we have made ourselves into human beings having spiritual experience. That's our problem. So because of this misidentification, all the trials and troubles we are undergoing in our life. And this problem can be addressed only by reviving our original consciousness, which is Krishna consciousness, and which can be only re-established by finding our connection with God again. So therefore come in picture various yoga systems. Yoga means that which links you with God. So when we employ our senses in activities and through that we want to connect to God, that is called Karma Yoga. When we want to employ our mind and its meditative, contemplative ability and connect it with God, that's called Ashtanga or Dhyana Yoga. When we want to employ our buddhi, intelligence of doing speculation on what is knowledge, what is truth, what is illusion, and connect thus with God, that is called as Jnana Yoga. And when we want to connect sensory, mental, intellectual, entirety of our existence with God, because of developing love for Him, that is called as Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga includes and surpasses the benefits of all other yoga paths. It includes and surpasses. It has something much more to give. And therefore, an intelligent person would make that choice. So after the problem definition, Dehatma Buddhi, the second chapter talks about summary of Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna offered five reasons why he doesn't want to fight. And in fifth chapter, Krishna answered all of them. But because Arjuna was still adamant, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So that's why the third, fourth, fifth chapters were continued, addressing Arjuna's basic problem. Action or renunciation? What should I do? So Arjuna was thinking, I have to either do action in this world, then I can't be renounced. And if I have to be a renounced person in this world, I can't be active in any material sphere. So this was his problem. He had a binary flip-flop 0-1 digital mentality. And Krishna was telling him, my option for you is action with renunciation. How about that? So Arjuna, it was not getting, you know, inside his system. Again and again he was asking this question. And this is how Bhagavad Gita continues. And finally, coming to the level of Dhyana Yoga, where Arjuna himself rejected that procedure, Krishna concluded, Yoginam api sarvesham madgatena antaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam same yuktatamo mataha. Person who always thinks of me with love and with great faith renders devotional service to me is best of all yogis according to my opinion. So in this way, giving a precursor to the next section of Bhagavad Gita, Bhakti Yoga, the sixth chapter ended. And now begins the middle section of Bhagavad Gita from 7 through 12 chapters, which are very, very important chapters of Bhagavad Gita. Our acharyas compare this to be the cream of Bhagavad Gita. You have seen when children, they are given a cream biscuit. On the top there is a biscuit, that wheat part. Below there is biscuit and between there is cream. So what is the typical tendency of a child? Pahle usko kholo, straight to the cream. No wasting time. In the same manner, the karma section, the jnana section and the bhakti section of Bhagavad Gita. The first six, the middle six, the last six chapters. Although they are all important, but the middle six chapters are the most important chapters of Bhagavad Gita. And we are really fortunate to get to study this all together. So before I begin, I would seek the blessings and permission of all the seniors here, especially Radha Shyam Prabhu and others, who have given us the opportunity to become learner, practitioners and so-called teachers of this transcendental science of Bhagavad Gita. So what I would like to do is to first give, go to the next slide, summary of each chapter with an acronym so that it's easy for you to remember what is going on in that chapter. And then just tell one story that summarizes the essence of that chapter for you to remember. So here is the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita, HP 34MB. Sounds familiar in our digital life. So first three verses talk about hearing about Krishna. And this verse which we recited, please once again repeat after me. Maya sakta mana partha yogam yunjan madashrayah asamshayam samagrammam yathajnyasyasi tachrunu. So this verse begins with just hear. Tachrunu. Hearing is the most important activity in spiritual life. Before we become devotees of Krishna, we have to become devotees of the hearing process. Shravanam. Then everything else, kirtanam, smaranam will follow. What is the result of hearing about Krishna? We will know Krishna. Jnasyasi. Mam jnasyasi. How? Asamshayam samagram. Without doubt and completely. What is the result of knowing Krishna asamshayam and samagram? Mad ashrayaha. You will take shelter of Krishna, knowing who he is. And yogam yunjan. We will engage in bhakti yoga. And the result of engagement in such sadhana bhakti, mai asakta manaha. One's mind will become completely fixed, attached to Krishna. So in this way, go to the next verse. It's a reverse cycle. Tat shrunu, asamshayam samangram, mam jnasyasi, then madashrayaha, then yogam yunjan, then mai asakta manaha. In this way, this verse is like a seed verse for all the six next verses, next chapters, for us to know how to fix our mind upon Krishna. That is the basic theme of all these chapters. Sometimes people say, I love God. So how do you know somebody loves God or not? So our scriptures very well define the symptoms of one who has fallen in love. So there are nine symptoms. When you love someone, you like to hear about that person. Shravanam. When you love someone, like nowadays there is Narendra Modi. So there are those who idolize him. And there is every now and then any opportunity they want to hear. What are the Rupa Guna Leela of this person that he is currently performing? Shravanam. The next symptom of someone who loves another person is that you like to talk about that person. Kirtanam. Then the third symptom of love is Smaranam. We would like to continuously meditate on the person's qualities, activities, etc. We see sometimes in Bombay trains, youngsters are traveling, and if the boy has fallen in love with a girl, then although he is standing in a threefold bending form in the train, in a very awkward position, he is still lost in his thought somewhere. And people say also, kya hua hai tumhe aajkal? Kuch khoye khoye se lagte ho. You are not normal. Why? Smaranam. This is power of smaranam. It makes you forget even material miseries in life. Such ordinary third class smaranam can give such a power. You can imagine if you start really meditating upon Krishna, how blissful we would become. And in this way, all the rest symptoms follow. Pada sevanam, you know. You like to serve the feet of the person whom you love. Then archanam, you do. I had a room partner in my hostel days in engineering. His name was Sanjit. And every morning I would get up and start chanting my rounds in the room. And he would get up, and he was a bodybuilder. So he would do all the dumbbells and everything. And after doing his exercise, he would do physical muscle building and I would do spiritual muscle building. Together program. And then after that, he would go take a shower and come back, lit up an agarbatti, and he had a picture of Hanuman. And there was a picture of Bruce Lee. To that also he will show agarbatti. That was little too much for me. I would say, what are you doing? He said, my hero. I want to have a body like that. You know, slender, sleek and lightning fast. Super destructive. That was his definition of success in life. To have a body like that. Archanam. And then Vandanam. You know, you like to offer prayers, glory, eulogy to the person whom you love. If a girl forgets her handkerchief in the restaurant and if a boy gets it, there are innumerable songs written about the handkerchief. Tadiya. The girl might have cleaned her nose inside and put there. But this fellow will adore and spiritualize that commodity, you know, way beyond, you know, any. This is how love is. Love is double quote. And in this way, one goes crazy. With anything that happens around, he starts glorifying that other person and his even handkerchief. Dasyam, we know, favorite one. Dasyam refers to, मैं तुम्हारे लिए चांद तारे तोड़ कर ला सकता हूँ. कोई बोले जाओ लेके आओ. नहीं, ऐसे सिर्फ कहना रहता है. Nobody can actually do it. And then finally comes Sakhyam, revealing our heart in full confidence, sharing a confidential relationship with the Lord, and Atmanivedanam, total surrender. One time Jayadvith Maharaj had come to Pune and his classes for youths were the highlight of our entire existence in those days. The way he would give classes, simply some of his one gesture will make so much impact. Yan maithuna di gruhame di sukham hi tuchham, he would say. And that itself would be like a revelation, you know, in the heart. So one time he was telling, one boy asked him, why in Krishna consciousness are we not allowed to have girlfriend boyfriend business? Now this question is asked to whom? Jayadvith Maharaj. Maharaj said, well, there is only one real girlfriend boyfriend, Radha and Krishna. And we are all part of their girlfriend boyfriend business. There is no need of independently cultivating some separate, you know, plan. And then he said, if you fall into this business, what will happen to you? And he was giving explanation of Atmanivedanam. The girl will say, will it not be nice if you do like this? Will it not be nice if you do like that? And the boy will go around wagging his tail. So this egg. Maharaj is doing that in the Vyasasana. I couldn't do it so well. And what is that? Maharaj said, Atmanivedanam. Complete surrender. Sarva dharman parityajya. Ma nahi, baap nahi, desh nahi, dharma nahi. Maam, girl ekam sharanam raja. No? You know? Or whatever that so-called ideology. You know, sometimes it is, I'm not just talking about girls, but the topic is anything that is Krishnetara, other than Krishna, we are ready to lay down our lives for. But here is the Supreme Lord who is giving us such wonderful knowledge, such wonderful facilities, inspiration, guidance, and affection. We have no time for Him in our life. And that is why it is beginning of spiritual life when we take a commitment that I will daily spend quality time with the Lord. The first thing in the morning. Not last thing. And this is how the seventh chapter begins.
Just go a little behind.
Hearing about Krishna begins our Krishna consciousness. When we hear about Krishna regularly, we start perceiving Krishna in everything, in every person, and in every situation. All objects, people, situations emanate from Krishna. And they have a connection with Him. But currently we are unable to see this connection, and because of that we remain in a bewildered condition in our life. By repeatedly, regularly hearing about Krishna from a self-realized spiritual master, one can start perceiving Krishna everywhere in one's life. So how to do that is the subject matter of the 4 to 12 verses. Then Lord Krishna talks about what is it that helps us forget Krishna. If Krishna is everywhere, He can be perceived in everything, in every person. What makes us forget Krishna? And that is three modes of material nature: the Sattva Guna, Rajo Guna and Tamo Guna. This discussion will again happen in 14th and 17th chapter. So we will not get into that now. But there are these three modes that cover our vision of Krishna, and they don't allow us to see Krishna. Then accordingly, there are four kinds of people who surrender to Krishna and four kinds of people who don't surrender to Krishna. So what are those people who surrender to Krishna? Arto jidnyasu artharthi jnani cha bharatarshabha. Arto means those who are distressed, like Gajendra. Jidnyasu, those who are inquisitive, like sages of Naimisharanya. Artharthi, those who want material gain from spirituality, like Dhruva. And jnani, those who are really, really intense in their search for absolute truth, like Shukadeva Goswami. So these are the four kinds of people who turn towards Krishna. Many of them, especially the first three category, when they get their desire fulfilled, they turn away from Krishna. But still Krishna calls them Sukrutinaha, pious souls, nice people. Jnani, Lord Krishna says, a very special one. Jnani tu atmaiva me matam. Know the jnani to be as good as myself. That's how dear he is to me. So all of us, from whichever condition we are coming in to Krishna consciousness, arto jidnyasu artharthi jnani, we should try and quickly come to the stage of becoming sincere seekers of Krishna. Then there are four kinds of people who don't surrender to Krishna. Who are they? Namam duskrutinaha mudha prapadyante naradhama mayaya aparhuta jnana asuram bhavam ashritaha. So mudha, purport is so beautiful. Prabhupada describes very graphically the life of a mundane materialist who is ready to work hard like a donkey, foaming at the mouth to satisfy illusory masters, but has no time for Krishna consciousness. And there is a whole, Prabhupada is a way of blending the analogy of the ass and the materialistic worker with the sad story of his life with a humorous touch in the purport. So that's for homework. Please go and study the purports to this mudha category. Then naradhama, those who have got human form of life and have come across spirituality, but don't take to it seriously and waste that golden chance. So it is one thing to not have Krishna consciousness, but it is another thing to get it and then lose it. So that is called naradhama. Then mayaya aparhuta jnana, trying to think that logic is greater than God. Many scientists, philosophers, thinkers are trying to use their brain to take themselves and others away from God. So that is called mayaya aparhuta jnana. And asuram bhavam ashritaha, those who are taking desperately the shelter of demoniac nature. They are avowed atheists. So such people we should avoid in our association. Then finally there are those who have misplaced surrender. Surrender to something or someone other than Krishna. So there is a whole discussion about where do they go, what do they get in their life. And finally, the conclusion of this chapter, bewilderment and freedom of jiva by knowledge of Krishna. So this knowledge of Krishna has to be gained by hearing from a bona fide authority. And by such knowledge, one can free oneself येषां तु अन्तगतं पापं जनानां पुण्यकर्मणां ते द्वन्द्वमोह निर्मुक्ता भजन्ते मां दृढव्रता. एंड दिस ब्यूटिफुल वर्सेस दे कम इन दिस सेक्शन. सो इन दिस वे द सेवेंथ चैप्टर कंक्लूड्स. द मेन थीम ऑफ दिस चैप्टर इज नॉलेज ऑफ द एब्सोल्यूट gained by hearing, and the result of knowledge being gained, mai asakta manaha, to make our mind fixed on Krishna. Now we will go to the next eighth verse. In this chapter Lord Krishna gives us some hints how to think of him while we are in this world. Sometimes people say, if God exists, show me God. So Krishna is giving multiple ways of seeing him in matter, which we day-to-day basis experience in our life. And this is one of such verses. Please repeat. Rasoham apsu kaunteya prabhasmi shashi suryayo pranavasarva vedesho shabdakhe paurusham drusho. So every day we drink water. While drinking water, we are to meditate. The taste of this water is Krishna. Prabhasmi shashi suryayoho. Every day we experience moonshine or sunshine falling on our body. We have to meditate that this sunshine or moonshine is Krishna. Pranavaha sarva vedeshu. We chant Omkara so many times, Pranava. Whenever we recite anything about Vedic literature, that Omkara is Krishna. And Shabdaha Khe, I am the sound in the ether. Everything in modern times is based on sound, sonic technology. Even our mobiles or whatever, all this VHF, UHF, everything is all sound vibrations. And being manipulated in this form, that form. The ideal purpose of Shabda is to take us closer to God. But in modern times that same Shabda is being misused through technology to take us away from God. Then comes Paurusham Drushu. Anywhere we see some great ability in another man, we should think this is Krishna. This is coming from Krishna. The point is, the 7th chapter, the 8th chapter and the 10th chapter have three basic themes. Krishna is the best of everything, Krishna is the origin of everything, and Krishna is the essence of everything. I'll repeat. Krishna is the best of everything, Krishna is the origin of everything, and Krishna is the essence of everything. In this world we become envious of other people because we want to be the best, we want to be the original, and we want to be the central figure, the essence of any happening. So when we appreciate Lord Krishna to be that person, we give up envy in our life. When we give up envy towards others, it becomes easy for us to meditate on Krishna. In fact, we start perceiving Krishna in the very same thing that we are envious about. What is envy? Envy is indirect appreciation. We are actually appreciating what the other person has. But we are thinking, why I don't have it. That's called envy. So just make it direct. Instead of indirectly appreciating, we just directly appreciate. Prabhu, you make such a wonderful preparations in prasadam. Mataji, you make such wonderful garlands. That direct appreciation will help us know that here is Krishna manifesting himself in his vibhuti form. Vibhuti means manifestation of excellence. So, that is how the 7th chapter concludes. And then begins the 8th chapter, attaining the supreme. Go to the next. So, Arya PCS, A-R-Y PCS. Arya means a person who practices spiritual culture. In Sanskrit, Arya. And the acronym, to make it easy to remember, Arya, please chant sincerely. If you want to attain the supreme, What is that one thing you should really do well? Please chant sincerely. So, I have to first help you remember the acronym. As soon as you hear knowledge of the absolute, so HP 34 MB, huh? You connect to Krishna, and that's how you draw knowledge of the absolute. Then we talked about attaining the supreme, and that is how Arya, please chant. Arya means spiritual practitioners. Please chant sincerely. So here is the acronym. Lord Krishna used some terms like Adhibhuta, Adhidaiva, Adhiyajna, Adhi Atma. So 6-7 terms he used at the conclusion of 7th chapter. And he was about to proceed further. Arjuna stopped him. He said, can you explain me those terms that you used? What is Adhiyajna, Adhibhuta, Adhidaiva, Adhi Atma? And then that's how the discussion begins in this chapter. The main theme of this chapter is life is preparation and death is examination. And death is such an exam for which there is no timetable. It's always a surprise test. And it suddenly comes and checks our quality of desires and quality of actions in this life and accordingly awards next birth, next quality of existence. This is the main theme of this chapter. So attaining the supreme refers to cultivating desires and activities that will help us remember Krishna at the time of death and thus go back to spiritual world having a spiritual form. One time Srila Prabhupada was invited by some of his disciples in the early days of ISKCON to one place. I don't exactly remember the name, but it was Morning Star Ranch or some place like that. And when I heard this for the first time, I didn't know what it is. So that devotee explained that there were some nudists. Nudists means people who stay naked in jungles. And they consider that as appreciation of beauty and harmony and truth that you exchange with nature. So there were nudist club. And the devotees had requested Prabhupada to go and speak to them to give them a Bhagavatam class. So when Prabhupada went, there was like a, you know, they have this machan. Machan means shikari ko baithne ke liye jagah rehti hai. If you have to guard a forest, you have to sit on an elevated place. So they made Swamiji sit there. And when Prabhupada started singing Jai Radha Madhava, and fully absorbed, and finally when he opened his eyes, from all over the jungle, all these people had gathered, nobody wearing any clothes, and they were sitting to hear. Now you imagine, if you were given an audience like that, to give a class to, what would you speak to them? How would you make them connect to Krishna? So Prabhupada began his class. Prabhupada is a master teacher. So all of you have experience. When you take off all your clothes and enjoy with your bare senses, how much pleasure is there? Everybody said, yes, Swamiji, that we know very well. So imagine, this material body is also a covering on the spiritual senses of the spirit soul. We are not human beings having spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having human experience. So if we take off this materialistic clothing and enjoy with our bare spiritual senses, how much pleasure will be there? They said, Swamiji, we got it. Tell us now how to get rid of this material existence. Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is the mantra that dissolves your material existence. Ye nirvastrikaran karyakram hai. Only Prabhupada can do that. Huh? So, this entire eighth chapter is something of this sort. If you study this chapter very nicely, you will get convinced that there is nothing else to be done in life other than to think of Krishna. Cultivate thought of Krishna in day-to-day activities so that I can think of Krishna right at the moment of my death. Ante Narayana Smritihi. So the verse that talks about it is having a title, The Law of Last Thought. There are many laws that govern this creation. So there is one law additionally, The Law of Last Thought. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajati ante kalevaram. Tam tam eva eti. You will get that same existence. Sadatat bhava bhavitaha. And therefore Krishna is giving this recommendation. Please repeat. Antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram yah prayati samad bhavam yati nastyatra samshayaha. Whoever at the end of his life quits his body remembering me alone, at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. There is one more verse, 8th verse, which is not here, but I would like you to recite after me. This verse I daily recite when I sit for japa, or the first thing in the morning when I wake up from the bed. Beautiful verse. Abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasananyagamina paramam purusham divyam yati parthanuchintayan. Abhyasa yoga yuktena, with great strenuous effort, if you practice this sadhana bhakti, abhyasa yoga, chetasa na anyagamina, not allowing your mind to get diverted anywhere else, paramam purusham divyam yati, you will attain that supreme person, partha anuchintayan, by the process of continual remembrance, you will attain that supreme person. So in this way, the 8th chapter, go back, has remembering Krishna at death as the main clarion call for all of us. And then it takes a detour into Yoga Mishra Bhakti, how through cultivation of Ashtanga Yoga you can come back to the path of Bhakti Yoga. Then it goes to pure devotional service, verses 14 through 16. And then Lord Krishna begins comparison of spiritual and material worlds, just to give us the conviction that we should firmly take the decision to quit this world and go back to the spiritual world. And finally, the supremacy of pure devotional service in attaining the supreme. So because the whole section is about Bhakti Yoga, every now and then that theme will repeat, that Bhakti is the best. Bhakti is the best. Bhakti is the best. Don't waste your time with anything else. So that is about the 8th chapter. Now we go to the 9th one. There is one more verse from 8th. No, correct. So now we have 8th chapter ending by establishing Kevala Bhakti as superior to Jnana Mishra Bhakti and Yoga Mishra Bhakti. In chapter 9, Krishna will focus on Kevala Bhakti. And that's why this chapter is called Raj Vidya Raj Guiha Yoga Adhyaya. Krishna will give knowledge that will engender bhakti to him, the most confidential knowledge about himself. Usually when you meet a new person and he asks you some basic questions, who are you? You may tell your name. Where do you stay? You will tell your home address. How much money you have in your bank account? You will say, why you want to know? So in the same manner, Bhagavad Gita gives some generic information, no? Body, soul, spiritual world, material world. But till now, Krishna has not exactly started speaking very deeply about himself and about the nature of his dealing with his devotees. That is what he begins in this chapter. And he gives the reason why he is speaking it to Arjuna. Idam tute guihatamam pravakshami anasuyave jnanam vidjnana sahitam yadnyatva mokshase ashubhat. I am giving you this knowledge, jnana along with vidjnana, because anasuyave, You are not envious of me. So I am speaking wholeheartedly to you about myself. And there is that famous verse, Rajavidya Rajaguiham Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyaksha Avagamam Dharmyam Susukham Kartum Avyayam. So 8 characteristics of Bhakti Yoga. And then, go next. This is slightly longer. The 9th chapter deals with faith being strengthened. So faith as prerequisite, anasuya, shraddha, these are important qualities to approach Krishna. 4 to 10, achintya bheda bheda tattva. Krishna's simultaneous oneness and difference with his creation. And an indirect worship of Krishna, its faults and results. So there are impersonalists, there are ahangraha upasakas, there are demigod worshippers, there are Vishwarup upasakas, Pratik upasakas. So varieties of types of non-Krishna worshippers. So what are the faults in their type of worship and what is the destination that they attain is very vividly described in this chapter. Go next. And finally, how bhakti is the topmost of all forms of worship. First of all, bhakti is very simple. Prabhupada says, even a child can practice and even a dog can practice. So I used to always wonder how a dog can practice. So, because as soon as you give prasadam to the dog can't do ashtanga yoga. He cannot practice jnana yoga. And the dog cannot do any, you know, all this bhastrika, anulom, vilom, you know, all that. But he can eat prasadam. And the moment he does that, things have started. Simple. Results are sublime. So this word is interesting, sublime. Chant Hare Krishna and make your life sublime. So in simplest words it means non-material, transcendental, pure, pristine. Krishna is impartially partial to his devotees. That's an interesting term. Lord Krishna says, Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu. I am equal to everybody. Name Dveshosti Na Priyaha. No hate, no love with anybody. Then, Ye Bhajanti Tu Maam Bhaktya Maite Teshu Chapi Aham. But those who worship me with love, I am in them and they are in me. Oh, that's quite a thick relationship. Although you say you are very impartial. So what is the meaning? The meaning is, a father loves all his children. No doubt about it. And he impartially tries to raise them. However, if there is a son who takes active interest in furthering the actual mission of the father, then naturally he gets favor. But that favor is impartial. If any other son decides to do the same, he will also get the favor. It is just that they are misusing their free will. And that is why Krishna is impartially partial towards his devotees. And that's why we are all at a great advantage having come to Bhakti Yoga. Even fallen devotee shall never perish. So if somebody could not complete the practice of Bhakti Yoga, he will not meet inauspiciousness. He will continue from where he left and he will get multiple opportunities to perfect his life. Even persons with sinful background can attain highest destination. So no matter what kind of disadvantaged body we are born in, this Kali Yuga body is like a khatara gadi. You know, naak beh raha hai, kaan sunai nahi de raha hai, aankh ko dikhta nahi, chashma laga hua hai. All kinds of, you know, sounds are coming from the stomach and the, you know, the joints in the body. Really khatara gadi. Sometimes in our temple people come. Swami ji ek gaadi hai hamare ghar mein. Mandir ko bhet dena chahte hain. And earlier we were very innocent because no money, so you have to take whatever comes. So one fellow, he brought one Tata Estate. That car was so horrible. We spend more money on maintenance than running the car. And it was such a dilapidated condition. Even horn chhodke sab kuch awaz karta tha uska. Jo karna chahiye awaz. It was such a headache to maintain that car. Finally we called that guy, personally went and gave it to him at his home. He said, tum hi rakho usko. And similarly, sometimes people say, you know, bhakti abhi jawan umar mein nahi karni chahiye, buddha hone ke baad karni chahiye. That is same logic. Hamare paas ek khatara gaadi hai. Bhagwan ko dena chahte hai. To uska maintenance cost jyada hai running cost se. And at that time you go and give, what kind of love is this? Is that love? So when your gaadi is in good shape, you give, you know, full service at that time. Imagine if somebody is driving a Luna on Pune-Bombay Express Highway. Till that I have not understood why people laugh when I give this analogy and the first statement that I say. So, no, you are driving a Luna on a Pune-Bombay Express Highway, 3-lane road, wide. And no matter how much you throttle, still what speed can you go at? 50-55 km/h. You can't go beyond it. And then you see, there is somebody who comes in Mercedes-Benz and goes, zoom, ahead of you. Practically no sound. And they go at 140 km/h. And we sometimes tend to become envious. You know, itna awaj kar raha hu, kahin nahi ja raha hu. This fellow, you know, smooth drive, you know. So imagine you have a friend, you know, who is a very rich man. He has some helipads, you know, helicopters in his home. You put a phone call to him. And then he brings a helicopter, and that helicopter comes and latches your Luna along with you and lifts you, and then you go. Then what speed do you go with? 300-400 km/h. Practically speaking, what is your effort? Latke raho, girna nahi bas, you know. You are simply there hanging, you know. In the same manner, with this khatara gaadi of Kali Yuga that we have, we are trying to produce performance in our occupation, as a parent, as a spouse, as a student, you know, even in bhakti, you know, devotional service in ISKCON. And sometimes other devotees do better than us, and we become envious of them. We think, arre dekho, main itna awaaz karta hu, kuch nahi ho raha, you know, and they do such nice things so smoothly. Instead of becoming envious, we should rather re-establish our connection with our source. When we chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, we are inviting the descending mercy of the Lord, Krupa Shakti, to come and latch our khatara and lift us. And then we all can perform at levels that we ourselves get amazed at. Is this what I am able to do? And this is what Krishna means by becoming a devotee. Let Krishna act through us. So, this chapter is basic delineation on how to perform such a bhakti that gives us connection with Krishna. Manmana bhava mad bhakto, madhyaji mam namaskuru, mame vaishasi satyam te pratijane priyosime. This verse is considered the middle of Bhagavad Gita and also the essence of Bhagavad Gita. And this is how Mamai Vaishasi Yuktvaivam Atmanam Matparayanaha. So 9.34 is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Again the same point. Man Mana, fix your mind upon me. Bhava Mad Bhakto, become my devotee. Mad Yaji, worship me. Maham Namaskuru, offer your homage unto me. Then begins next. Go next. Please go next. Chapter 9 ends by Krishna's instruction, fix your mind upon me. And in chapter 10, Krishna will speak about opulences upon which a devotee can fix his mind, called vibhutis. The chapter title is Vibhuti Yoga. How to remember Krishna when we see opulent, beautiful and powerful things within this world? Interesting. Generally when we see something beautiful, opulent and powerful, we tend to forget Krishna. Is it not? Like we have that pastime. Once Srila Prabhupada's were arriving on the airport and many devotees had gone to greet him, and one new man also joined, you know, with other devotees, his friends, to see the Swamiji. So when the airplane landed, everyone was coming out, there was a beautiful air hostess. She was so beautiful. She was coming down the aisle. And this man, his eyes got glued to her. And he was following her till she disappeared. And then when he turned around, he saw Prabhupada was standing right next to him, looking at him. And he was so embarrassed. And then Prabhupada is no less. He asked him, "So beautiful, isn't she?" Now he didn't know whether to say yes or no. You can't lie to the spiritual master. And yet how will you admit such an embarrassing thing? And then Prabhupada gave a punchline. If the spark is so beautiful, how much the complete whole from where the spark comes must be beautiful. If you are so madly attracted to this beauty, why not get attracted to that origin of all beauty? And that was such a thudding realization for him. He said, "I never thought like that. Why am I so madly attracted to the beauty of this world instead of wondering about the origin of this beauty, from where it comes? From Krishna." And that is why this chapter is very important, Vibhuti Yoga. It helps us to not get diverted from thought of Krishna when we come across powerful, opulent, beautiful things of this world. Vibhutis. Vibhuti means manifestation of excellences. Every one of us is excellent at something. Some of us are excellent in cooking, speaking, singing, quarreling. So we should know that that's a manifestation of Krishna's opulence through us. We have to dovetail that vibhuti in such a way that we render service. We produce service. And that is the purpose of having a vibhuti. Please repeat. Pibanti nadya swayameva nambha swayam nakhadanti phalani vrukshaha nadanti sasyam khaluvari vaha paropakaraya satam vibhutayaha pibanti nadyaha swayameva nambhaha. Rivers have so much water in them. Mahanadi, Brahmaputra, Ganga. Not a drop of that water the river drinks for herself. She gives it all away. Phukat, free. Swayam na khadanti phalani vrukshaha. Trees bear so many fruits. Not a single fruit the tree eats himself. It gives it all out. Free. Phukat. Nadanti sasyam khalu vari vaha. Clouds pour and produce so much grain. Parjanya tanna sambhavaha. And the clouds don't claim proprietorship over even one grain that they have produced in the field. They give it all away. Phukat. You might be wondering, why am I repeating that word? And what do human beings do? They take from the rivers, take from the trees, take from the clouds and the land and the grains, and give nothing in return. In fact, one of the lectures, don't mind, Prabhupada's lecture titles sometimes are really wildly given. One lecture title was, "We came here to pass tool." And first time when I read that, I said, "My God, what is this?" So what is the grand contribution human civilization is giving to planet Earth in return? of all that they get from it. So Manushya Samaj Phuktyansa Samaj hai. Marathi madhe tala Phukat Chambu Babu Rao asa mantat. So after studying these chapters, especially Vibhuti Yoga, the last line is very important. Paropakaraya Satam Vibhutayaha. Satam means a devotee of the Lord. If we have got some vibhuti in us, what are we to do with it? The typical tendency is to use that vibhuti to get some, you know, money, fame, power, control. But that is not how a devotee is. Paropakaraya Satam Vibhutaya. He actually gives his vibhuti in service to others simply for paropakar, simply for doing good to others. And this is what we should learn from the rivers, from the trees, and from the clouds. So, this is Vibhuti Yoga, Krishna's manifestation of excellences. Go ahead. Again, here, the original theme. H, how Krishna is the source of everything? No one knows Krishna because he is the source. How can something that is a subset of major set can understand the full set? So, Krishna can be only understood when he reveals himself to us. Then 8 to 11, essence of Gita, the Chatushloki, the four most important core verses of Bhagavad Gita, which we'll study in some time. Then Arjuna accepts Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead with full faith and desire to hear more about him. And finally, recital or recount of Krishna's 82 vibhutis. So wherever we look around in this world and we find something powerful, beautiful, opulent, here is Krishna. That's what our thought will become if we really study this chapter very well. One time Srila Prabhupada was gifted a nice beautiful flower offered to the deities. Prabhupada took it. Ah, this is Krishna. That was his immediate comment. Punyo gandha prithivyam cha. Krishna says, I am the fragrance of the earth that manifests in the flowers. So whenever we smell a flower, we are experiencing Krishna. But it's just that because of not hearing this knowledge before, we can't see it. We can't see Krishna. Go ahead. So here are those four most important verses of Gita. We'll just recite them for our own purification. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha-bhava-samanvitaha. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this, engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Buddha-bhava-samanvitaha. So earlier it was more informational that we should know Krishna and perceive Krishna. Now it is more heart transformational. We should actually love Krishna and develop our appreciation towards everything that Krishna has taught in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhava samanvitaha. Next. What is the result of getting this knowledge of Krishna being the Supreme? Machitta madgata prana. Bodhayantah parasparam kathayantascha mam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service. They derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. So mat chitta refers to the heart being given to Krishna. Madgata prana refers to sensory activities being dedicated to Krishna. Bodhayantaha parasparam means when we meet devotees, you have seen sometimes on a tree there are two black You know, ants, they come and talk, you know, they bang on each other and they discuss something. And then they depart. Like that, when two devotees bump on each other, they always have something to discuss about their sadhana, their seva, their relish in Krishna consciousness. I remember one time, His Only Sachinandan Swami Maharaj had called on the phone, and because I am doing the guest reception seva in our temple, he knows me personally, having served him sometimes. So once he called me, "Can I speak to Bala Govinda?" I said, "Yes, Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. How may I serve you?" "Bala Govinda, can I tell you something about Krishna?" And I was wondering, he's spiritual master, I'm a small, tiny insect somewhere in the temple. He calling from somewhere in Germany and he want to talk to me, Krishna Katha. I said, "Yes, Maharaj." Now is the month of Kartik going on. In the month of Kartik, have you seen how the pujari, after the aarti, he sprinkles the water on the head of everybody present? Sinner, saint, doesn't matter. Everyone gets mercy of the Lord. I said, "Yes, Maharaj." In the month of Kartik, Srimati Radharani's mercy is like that distributed to every single person who practices this vrata. So, I became serious. "So, Bala Govinda, will you promise me that you will nicely cultivate some vrata in Kartik month?" I said, "Yes, Maharaj." "Will you please chant some extra rounds?" I said, "Yes, Maharaj." You're like taking commitments from me from nowhere. So I said so many things. And then I was wondering, why did he call me exactly? Because, you know, to tell this. And then he said, "Well, I had one more thing to talk to you." And then he said, "I'm planning to come to Pune on such and such date. And then I want to go here, there. Can you arrange these things nicely? So the dates are okay or not?" And I said, "Yes, Maharaj. Everything is fine. You can please come." And then I was about to keep the phone because I thought, now, you know, we should not take the time of such great personalities. So I said, "Thank you very much, Maharaj." So I was about to keep. "Bala Govinda, can you tell me something about Krishna?" And that was too much for me. He telling me about Krishna was okay. And then he did some seva that he had. And then now he's asking, "Will you tell me something about Krishna?" And for a moment, I just couldn't believe what I heard. So I was like blank. And then he reminded me. And then I told him what I had just recently studied about, you know, how Kamsa becomes Kamsini Gopi. And he loses his manliness when he enters into Barsana. And, you know, he lives in utter embarrassment, you know, of being a woman, although he is a Kshatriya. And then finally goes and falls at the feet of the Gopis. And they finally relieve him of that so-called curse. It is not actually a curse. And then he goes back to become Kamsa, that story. And Maharaj was laughing and laughing and laughing, you know, just relishing that story like anything. And he said, "Thank you, Bala Govinda. You made my day." I said, "Wow, I could make a day of a sannyasi." You know. And then I was about to again keep. "Bala Govinda, will you promise me one more thing?" I said, "Yes, Maharaj. In this month of Kartik, whenever you discuss anything with any devotee about seva, will you always begin with Krishna Katha? And then will you request that devotee to tell you a Krishna Katha?" I said, "Yes, Maharaj, I will do it." And that's how my whole Kartik month went. Every time I have to do a service, first I have to do some Krishna Katha. And the devotee is wondering, "Yes, kaam ki baat bol." Our devotees are in another world. इधर मरने के लिए टाइम नहीं है, यू नो, आवर दैट्स आवर मैनेजमेंट डायलॉग्स, यू नो. एंड देन फाइनली आई वुड एंड देन आई हैव टू रिक्वेस्ट देम आल्सो, यू नो, यू टेल मी, देख मेरा टाइम पास मत करो, यू नो, आवर मैंने बोला मैं टाइम पास नहीं कर रहा हूं, इंस्ट्रक्शन है, इंस्ट्रक्शन, यू नो, इट इज इंस्ट्रक्शन फॉर मी फॉर दिस होल मंथ, आई हैव टू डू दिस. इट वॉज सो टफ, बट देन लेटर ऑन आई रिमेंबर, at the end of that whole month, such an experience that was. You know, I could really feel the import of this verse manifest somewhat in my heart. Mat chitta, mat gata prana, bodhayantaha parasparam. So that is about devotees when they meet with each other. And then kathayantascha maam nityam. whenever we come across non-devotee world, that so-called non-devotee world, everybody is a devotee, they just don't know it yet. So when we come across the so-called non-devotees, kathayantascha, we should not lose an opportunity to talk to our lift man, panwala, don't go to buy a pan, but to your rickshawala, taxiwala, whoever you come across, kathayantascha maam nityam, our devotees can't keep quiet, they have to release Krishna, everywhere they go. So either the holy name, the prasadam, the card and the photo of the deities or whatever. And in this way we should connect everyone to Krishna consciousness. And then comes the last verse. Next two verses, I'm sorry. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Where there is will, Krishna shows the way. That is the meaning of this verse. So if you have a strong will to be Krishna conscious, Krishna will tell us a billion ways how to be Krishna conscious in any situation. And if you have a weak desire or no desire to be Krishna conscious, then Krishna will also give you a billion excuses how to avoid him. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. Yena maam upayantite. And the purport Prabhupada beautifully writes, a person may have bona fide spiritual master, may be attached to a spiritual organization, but if he is not very intelligent enough to make progress, Krishna will guide him from within. So that's a very solace-giving statement. And the last in the Chatushloki, Teshamevanukam partham aham adnyanajam tamaha nashayamyatma bhavastho jnanadipena bhasvata. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So Krishna is so eager to enlighten us that for little hearing that we do, he personally enters into our hearts with a shining torchlight of transcendental knowledge and illuminates the whole darkness, dispelling all confusions, doubts, guilt, grief, anything in our hearts and making us wonderful devotees. These are the reciprocation the Lord gives, and that is why we should take to this process wholeheartedly. And then there are these 82 opulences or vibhutis being discussed, and that's how the 10th chapter concludes. Go next. Then begins chapter number 11, the universal form, Vishwarup Darshan Yoga. Now, in this world, people need proofs for believing something. So how do you know Krishna is God? So this is our answer. Krishna showed Virat Roop. Then they say, well, I have not seen it. There is somebody who has seen it, Arjuna. Then there are people who say, my guru is God. So our question is, can he show Virat Roop? And they say, I went and asked him, he said that he can show it, but I have no strength to see it. Then in this chapter, Krishna is telling Arjuna, I will give you the vision, the eyes by which you can see my Virat Roop. So in this way, whatever may be the arguments, this is our primary criteria. Somebody says, I am God, show me your Virat Roop. We can humbly request. And if somebody tries showing something, something else will come out, which will be itself a proof that these are all cheaters in the garb of spiritual leaders. And this is why this universal form is an important chapter. There are two verses only that we will discuss in this chapter. The first request by Arjuna to show Virat Rupa, then the display of universal form as described by Sanjay. Then prayers that Arjuna offers to the Virat Rupa, having seen it. Especially one prayer is that I treated you like my friend very bad, and please forgive me. That's one interesting prayer. And then Kala Rupa. There are various features of Virat Rupa. Just like in your mobile, you have all these various displays. So there are many features there, and there is one Kala Rupa. So that one app, you know, Arjuna is specially given excessive, what you call, darshan of. Because Arjuna's all through doubt was two. Should I fight or not? And number two, will I win or not in this battle? And in the Virat Rupa, that whole doubt gets completely dissolved. Krishna shows to Arjuna that this whole battlefield of Kurukshetra, ye match fixed hai. Which means Pandavas are victorious. All you need to do is Nimitta Matra Bhavasavya Sachin, become an instrument and fight. And then in the Kala Rupa feature of that Virat Purusha, Arjuna gets to see the enemy soldiers and even his own soldiers being chewed by the time factor, Kala Rupa. And thus Arjuna gets complete conviction that we are going to be victorious. So that's the main purpose behind the chapter, to give that conviction to Arjuna. Similarly, in our case also, Prithivite Ache Jata Nagara Adhigram Sarvatra Prachara Hoi Be Mora Naam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has already said it. Ye match fixed hai. Ye hone wala hi hai. The only point is, are we willing to participate in making it happen? And then, proportionately, God gives the glory to His devotees. So there are two verses in this chapter which are very important. Next. Please repeat. Tasmatvamuttishtha yasholabhasva Jitva shatrun bhungshvarajyam samruddham Mayaivaite nihita purvameva Nimittamatram bhavasavyasachin. So if ever in your life you become too depressed, unhappy over some happenings, you can recite this shloka 108 times. Therefore get up, prepare to fight and win glory. Conquer your enemies and enjoy a flourishing kingdom. They are already put to death by my arrangement. And you, O Savyasachi, can be but an instrument in the fight. Regarding this Nimitta Matra, in Pune we have one base, we call it Voice, a youth center, Mayapur Dham, Mayapur Dham Voice. So long ago, some 8-10 years back, I was the OC, the PM, project manager for that center. In those days there was road widening going on for Pune-Satara road, and the road widening was going to demolish half of our building. Which means when you enter, you have the hall, and from the hall, instead of entering into bedroom, you enter into the road. So there was this municipal people who came, they gave us a warning notice. 10 din mein khali karo. Bulldozer leke aayenge, sab utarenge tumhara. And we were not knowing. When we took the rent, the owner didn't tell us that whether it is legal, illegal, whether road widening is going to happen, not happen, all that. So we had already paid him money, and he was not having any inclination to give back anything. And we were in utter dilemma whether to quit, to lose the money, to stay, and how to fight with the government, you know, don't do road widening. So we were in great distress. It was a peak preaching time, it was a peak submission time and exam preparation time for the students. And boys were harassing, you know, saying, Prabhu, we told, you know, that we should not take this flat, but we still took it and all. So I was in great distress. So one fine day I was trying to figure out what to do with this problem, road widening problem. One fine morning comes one person in the base. He was a huge man, 6 feet tall, double my size. He gave his hand in my hand. Majha naav Krishna hai. And his hand was 10 kg. I said yes, so what do you want me to do? मी हितला गावचा गुंड आहे. दॅट वॉज अ इंट्रोडक्शन. आय एम द लोकल दादा, यु नो, द डॉन हिअर, यु नो, ऑफ दिस एरिया. समबडी टोल्ड मी दॅट यू आर इन ट्रबल, यु नो, इन हिज एरिया समबडी वेंट अँड हरे कृष्णा पीपल आर इन ट्रबल बिकॉज देअर बिल्डिंग इज गेटिंग डेमॉलिश्ड अँड आय वॉन्ट टू हेल्प ऑल ऑफ यू अँड आय एम नॉट गेटिंग एनी हेड ऑर टेल आउट ऑफ दिस. वेअर दिस पर्सन इज कमिंग फ्रॉम, वाय यु नो ही सडनली वॉन्टिंग टू हेल्प. सो आय आस्क्ड हिम, बट वाय यू वॉन्ट टू हेल्प अस? ही माझी गर्लफ्रेंड. सो ही शोड हिज गर्लफ्रेंड, हिला कृष्ण लई आवडतो. So I was wondering whether he's talking about himself or but I know he was talking about the Lord actually. He said she has come to your movement, she has read Prabhupada's books and she is a reporter in Aaj Ka Anand. You know, it's a local newspaper there. Aaj Ka Anand, she's a vartahar. And I was really not getting what is happening. You know, one person comes, my girlfriend. And then that girlfriend likes Krishna. And then she got from somebody to know that there is a temple here being run by ISKCON devotees. And then she told him that you must help them, otherwise you see, you know, that kind of. So then he came to help. And then I was still not getting convinced that he can do anything about this because it's a big government issue. Road widening is not some, you know. Maja Navavar, Sat Phul Murder, Pandara Half Murder Hayat. Oh my god! On my name there are 7 full murders, 15 half murders. I said, understood. What do you want? He said, काय घाबरायचं कारण नाही. You know, nothing to worry. I will sort it out. And then I sat them down, I gave them some prasad. And I was really bewildered whether we should take help from such people or not. And you know, it's all whole mess. So I went and just, you know, I told another senior person that this is what has happened. And he said, let's just wait. Rather than any, you know, we have not said yes or no to him. He's all, you know, himself coming and saying so many things. And God knows whether it is going to happen or not. And amazingly, 10 years have passed till that building is not demolished. We are still in that place. You know, our preaching is going on wonderfully. Things are going on. Road widening has also happened. Everything has gone ahead. And that person never again met me. He just never again met me. I tried my best to search him out, including even finding out who is that Vartahar in Aaj Ka Anand. He didn't tell me even the name of his girlfriend, so I don't know what it was. And he disappeared. And till then I'm trying to sort out that mystery. Maja Nav Krishna Hai. Oh my god. You know, when he says that, you wonder what is happening here. And then when I read this verse, it makes sense. Tasmat Muttishtha Yashola Bhasva. Everything is being done by my energy. And you simply become an instrument. Stay tight in this movement. Do your sadhana bhakti. Do your preaching. Do your sincere service with service attitude. Rest other things I will take care. Ye match fixed hai. And then eventually I went on to hear this another shloka from Bhagavatam. That gave me double conviction. Apanna samsurtim ghoram yannama vivasho grunan tatasadyo vimucheta yad bibheti swayam bhayam. Bhagavatam says if a person has come into this horrible material world, samsrutim ghoram, yan nama vivasho grunan, helplessly he calls out Krishna's holy names, tata sadyo vimuccheta, instantaneously he is freed from all fears. Why? Yad bibheti swayam bhayam. What an introduction to Krishna's holy name. Jinse murtiman bhay darta hai. Fear personified is afraid of Krishna's holy name. So in the same manner, when we are sitting and chanting every morning, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, we should hand over our anxieties to the holy name and simply relish the sweetness of our relationship by attentive hearing. And in this way, try to become an instrument in the hands of the holy name to spread the holy name. And then one last verse in the same chapter. Beautiful verse. Only by bhakti Krishna can be understood. Bhaktya tu ananyaya shakya. Aham evam vidhorjuna. ज्ञातुं द्रष्टुं च तत्त्वेन प्रवेष्टुं च परन्तप. माय डियर अर्जुना, ओनली बाय अनडिवाइडेड डिवोशनल सर्विस कैन आई बी अंडरस्टूड एज आई एम स्टैंडिंग बिफोर यू एंड कैन दस बी सीन डायरेक्टली. ज्ञातुं कैन बी अंडरस्टूड, द्रष्टुं यू कैन इवन सी मी फेस टू फेस. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding. Bhaktyatu ananyaya shakya. By ananya bhakti it is shakya, possible, to know Krishna. And then comes the last chapter for the discussion today. Bhakti Yoga, chapter number 12. Bhakti, BHA, bha. B is bhakti versus impersonalism. Superiority of bhakti yoga over path of impersonalism. So Arjuna is asking the question, who amongst the two, those who meditate on your avyakta, unmanifest, impersonal aspect, those who meditate on your vyakta, personal form, amongst the two, who is better? And Krishna very decisively says, those who meditate on my personal form are better than the impersonalists. Then 8 to 12 is hierarchy or steps towards pure bhakti, how to perform bhakti yoga. And 13 to 20 is Ashtakam, called Bhakta Ashtakam. Generally, we sing songs like Radhika Ashtakam, Sachi Suta Ashtakam, and Vrajaraja Suta Ashtakam, Harir Nama Ashtakam, glorification of Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, there are 8 verses where Krishna is singing Bhakta Ashtakam. 8 verses in which he glorifies his devotees. And those 8 verses are 13 to 20. And every single verse, Yomad Bhakta Same Priyaha, and such a devotee of mine is always very dear to me. And these verses are very, very endearing. The main theme of this entire chapter is to give us an exact understanding why have we joined ISKCON. So we could all give each of us our individual answers. Why did you come to ISKCON? Some people say ISKCON, iske jaisa kaun. There is no organization on planet earth that can give you 24/7 engagement in bhakti yoga and facilitate it so well. So the two major reasons why I came to ISKCON is because the opportunity and the facility to practice sadhana bhakti, the stage which I am situated at, there is no organization on the planet that can offer such a facility. So first is to become a good sadhana bhakta. Forget about Krishna prem, all that we'll see later. First is to become a good sadhana bhakta. And the second reason, what is the purpose of sadhana bhakti? Is to develop Vaishnava qualities. Vaishnava qualities are so important. We cannot attract Krishna by anything, by showing our wealth or beauty or opulence. We can only attract Krishna by the way he tells us. One who has these qualities, Adveshta Sarvabhutana, Maitra Karunai Vacha, etc. Yomad Bhakta Same Priya. One who has these qualities is attractive to me. So the only way to attract the all attractive Krishna is to develop Vaishnava qualities. So when Krishna sees them in us, then he is attracted to us. So we should keep these two focuses in our life. Number one, sincere sadhana bhakti. Number two, how much am I developing Vaishnava qualities as I practice my bhakti? And in this way, we can actually flourish in our Krishna consciousness. So I would like to end there because it's already time up. There was some explanation to be given about those hierarchical steps. Shuddha bhakti, if you can't do, then sadhana bhakti you should do. And sadhana bhakti you cannot do, then nishkam karma yoga you should do. And if nishkam karma yoga also you can't do, just do nishkam karma. Just give away what you have earned for doing good to others. So there are those 4 platforms. And we should encourage people from wherever they are coming to practice any one of these levels. Just to conclude, I would like to tell one last pastime of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was once walking on the seashore for a morning walk with his disciples. Far in the distance, he saw a huge ocean liner being pulled by a towing boat, power boat. Power boat is very small. Ocean liner is a huge ship. And as they were walking, Prabhupada pointed towards that site and he asked the disciples, "So, what do you understand?" And then everybody looked around. And then what is Bhaktivedanta purport here? Everybody is bewildered. Such a big boat being pulled by such a small one. Why? So still nobody could understand. I said, "Prabhupada, you only tell why." "Because the engine of that big boat is switched off. So, what do you understand?" So, Prabhupada said, similarly, we, jivas, we belong to spiritual energy. We come from Krishna. And material energy is always inferior to us. But unfortunately, in modern times, we see all kinds of materialistic objects, people, situations, which are actually insignificant. They are pulling our consciousness and dragging us here and there, wherever they want. Like that small towing boat pulling a huge ocean liner. Why? Because the innate Krishna conscious power house of bhakti switched off. We have kept it in switched off condition. And that's why we are being dragged around by gadgets, by movies, by so many things. Materialistic associations. And then what is the engine start command? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. When we chant this Maha Mantra, that fountain of joy in our heart. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabhunai Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Karaya Udaya. When it arises with full force, full vigor, then that ocean liner has the ability to drag 50, 100 such boats in whichever direction it wants to go. And they will follow behind him. Similarly, if we become truly Krishna conscious, by taking the essence of the six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, 7 to 12, and start practicing Krishna consciousness with certain degree of intensity, then we can actually take charge of all the affairs of our life, do good to ourselves, and do a lot of good to others. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, the devotees are requested to sit for a few more minutes. There's a short video that will be played on the screen, requesting the front chandelier lights to be turned off.